Hey, so again, I not only had the privilege of bringing you the announcements, but I also have the privilege of bringing you this weekend's message. And it's just going to be a simple word, just three application points. And we're just going to walk through, I think, just a good piece of material in Colossians. And so if you have your Bibles, get ready, grab your Bible, make sure you have it, and go to Colossians. And while you're doing that, again, I just want to say thank you for joining us. And we're just, love to have you here online. If you ever want to join us in person, please come and join us at Einheimer Elementary on Sundays at 10 a.m. All right. Well, let's jump into the text. We're going to start right there with the Word of God. So it's going to be Colossians 3:11. All right. So we're going to start at 11, but we're going to go to a little bit before that and finish up after 11. But Colossians 3:11, it says, "Here there is not Greek and Jew." All right. "Circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free. But Christ is all and in all." Here, Paul is saying, in the church, there isn't all these titles. It is Christ. And he is all, and he is in all. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for today. We invite you to this place where there's not just a man speaking, but you, through your text, bringing a message today for your people. So we thank you, we honor you, and please, please reveal your truths to us so that we would walk and live this life in the ways that you've done yourself and you've called us to. We love you. Pray in your name. Amen. Well, I've been listening to a podcast, and this podcast is called Hawaiiverse. All right. So if you are wondering what is Hawaiiverse, well, basically it's a podcast about Hawaii, the universe of Hawaii, right? Just that realm and all things about Hawaii, whether it's surfing, Ōlelo Hawaii, all these different kind of topics that come up, and the guy's name is Kamaka Diaz. And Kamaka Diaz always starts the program by asking his guests, "Where are you from? Where are you grad? And what was it like growing up in Hawaii?" Right? And if you're from Hawaii, then you know those are pretty important questions. Everybody wants to know, "Oh, where are you from, cuz? Yeah? Oh, where are you grad? Oh, your parents lick you when you was a kid." Right? And so a little bit about me. I've lived here on Oahu my whole life. All right. In January, I turned 39 years old. So I've been on Oahu, breathing air, walking this land for 39 years. And I don't travel that much. I don't go to many places, not even to other islands, man. But I love my home. And I definitely, as a child, I moved a lot, like a lot. I got a list. Here's starting from the east side, moving on over. I lived in Kaimuki, I lived in Makiki, I lived in Kalihi, I lived in Kalihi Valley. There's a difference between there's Kalihi, all right, and then there's Kalihi Valley. And then I lived in Wanalua, Salt Lake, Aiea, Pearl City, Waipahu. And now there's this Waipahu that nobody knows. All right, I'm gonna bring up three different locations. And that we lived that I haven't mentioned yet. So I lived in Papukulea when my family really needed space and we weren't able to live somewhere. My grandpa would take us in, and of course we'd have a place to stay and sleep for a while. Another place is Ewa Beach. This is my grandma's house. This is my mom's mom, and she let us live there, and it was awesome and super hot and sweaty. And we got to live there whenever we needed. And the last one is Aniani. I think Aniani is just a special place. It's in Waipahu. It's a place nobody really wants to go, and even myself, I live there and I don't want to go back there. You know what I mean? And so but it was always there. It was always an option for my family to move there because rent was cheap. And I bring that up because this week, as I was praying and thinking about, man, what I'm gonna talk about, Lord, can you reveal a truth not just for me, but for your church? And I started thinking about things, and maybe doubt came in, because guess what? I'm not Pastor John. Pastor John is a smart guy. That guy knows a lot. He's so smart it keeps him up at night, and I'm not like him. And you can kind of start to think, well, why well, I where I'm from is kind of who I am, right? And that's why people want to know, well, where are you from? Oh, you from Waianae? Then they got a thought about you, right? Oh, you're from Hawaiʻi? Oh, I got a thought about you. And so, drawing back on all my life experiences, I might be able to be a person who thinks, man, I don't got much. I don't got much to offer. I don't got much talents. I ain't that smart. And think about all the times I moved, and the thing that was constant is my family was always there when I needed it. And this word, I believe, is for us because we might need it. That God has a word for us that not like my grandparents had a place for us. And God has the Bible and the word for us. And Paul, in this word, is saying as the church, it's not about the external. It's not about where you've been and what you've done and what school you graduated from. Man, it is Christ, Christ alone. It's all Jesus. Jesus is in all things. And so I'm going to read Colossians 3:11 again with a little bit of stuff sprinkled in there, right? So here, okay, here in the church, there is no Greek and Jew. It ain't about you being Hawaiian. It ain't about you being Filipino. It ain't about you being Korean. It ain't about circumcised or uncircumcised, right? It's not about your failures and your success. It's not about where you've come from, where you're going. It's not about barbarian or Scythian. It's not about your social status, whether you're poor or middle class or you're wealthy. It's not about being slave or free. It's not if you feel like you're stuck in life or you're lost in your life. It's about the ending where it says, but Christ is all in all. And it's true. It is true that you are a certain nationality. It is true that we are all a part of a certain ethnic group. Some have interests in some things and some dislike those interests. Okay? Some of us have good days and bad days. But Paul is saying, in all those things, it's Christ is all and he is in all. He's in our past, he's in our present, he's in our future. And as believers, we are to follow after, take our lives and say, Matt, my life is yours. Whatever I've been through, whatever I'm going through, whatever I'm doing, man, I want Jesus in. Because he is over all of it. So if you want to know kind of the idea of what today's message is going to be, it's by Christ alone, believers are called to grow in maturity. How do we grow in maturity? By getting rid of sinful practices and cultivating Christian virtues. That's right. How do I live my life? How do you live your life? Man, I need to get rid of sinful practices. And practices is something we do over and over again. Not mistakenly, right? We don't mistakenly show up to practice. No, we choose to practice these things. So consciously, I choose to sin in this matter. Those sins need to be done with. And we need to cultivate Christian values. Cultivating means, man, I'm gonna work at it. I'm gonna have to dig at certain feelings. I'm gonna have to search into my family history. I'm gonna get proactive in what Christian values I want to apply to my life. And of course, the world can be distracting. It's trying to distract you, right? It's not trying to get you to think about the truth, but your own truth. It's trying to make sure you got PG woke thinking. It's not even about all the politics driving everything and everyone's thoughts. It's about followers, believers, disciples, the church, us believing and following Jesus, who is in all and above all. All right. And so if I'm going to get rid of and I'm gonna and move away from those sinful practices that I have, Well, how do I grow in Christ-like maturity? How do I do that? Well, point one is going to be Christ calls us to throw out our old selves. We literally have to throw out our old selves. Christ is calling you to that. He's not passively sitting by hoping that we do it. He's saying, no, you need to get rid of it. And Paul says this in Colossians 3, 7 through 10. In these you too once walked. All right, so we all have walked in sin. When you were living in them, okay, we're practicing, we're living it up, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Let me ask you, what do you guys think about these three things? What do you think about grave digging? What do you think about hoarders? And what do you think about dogs eating vomit? It's pretty disgusting. Like, it's pretty wild. Like, grave digging, the act of going to a gravesite, digging 6 feet down, and removing a body decomposing or stealing from it. That's wild. Hey, what about hoarders? People living in their own filth. People pooping in plastic bags, tying it up and leaving it in their bathrooms because they don't have running water. Rotten food and piling up in the kitchen. Like, people live that way. How about a dog? A dog that vomits, and not only vomits, but eats it. Imagine your kid doing that. Imagine you doing that. A dog vomits because something's in it that shouldn't be in it, and so it spits it up. I say all these things because, to be honest, we all in some kind of way treat our old selves like this. We thought we buried it, we got rid of it, but we'll dig it back up at moments. It's like, and reclaim it, right? Like, we think, oh, that bad boy, the bad boy image is gone. And when time, somebody calls you out, I gotta dig back my bad boy image and get all tough again. Some of us are just leaving our field, and it's like, oh, we're just, I just, it's over there. I don't have to think about that today. And we kind of hoard hurt, and we hoard different things and the poo of our life. We hoard it and we live with it. Even though God has called you to let it go, come after me, we cling to these sinful acts. How about a dog and its vomit? We know it's wrong. We know it shouldn't be in us, right? The dog is like, man, I ate too much grass today, and throws up. And then for some reason, it goes back and licks it back up. How many of us have gotten angry day after day, right? How many of us maybe has lust of the eyes, but we're still going on our social media lusting over men and women? Or with comparison, right? Whatever your thing is, but we constantly go back to it. And God, Paul is saying, like, we need to throw that out. Stop practicing, stop hoarding, stop digging up dead things, stop. Like, if you think about it, like, we put it to death. A few weeks ago, Pastor John talked about water baptism and the act of going under and dying with Christ and rising with Christ. Like, those things are so dead, left in the water. Some of us are going back to it. Let's read Romans 6, 4. It says, we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death. Like, we're buried. When we went down, death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we might too walk in newness of life. And God's calling us to maybe stop hoarding. We need a show to come by and clean up. And maybe that's your church family. For some of us, we got to stop going to grave sites. For some of us, we just got to stop going on social media. For some of us, we just need to stop practicing sinful things and start walking in the newness of life that God has for us. So, point two is going to be Christ calls us to live out our godly new selves. Christ calls us to live out our godly new selves. Colossians 3, 12 through 14, it says, "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, you also must forgive. Above all these, put on love, which binds us together in perfect harmony." In a staff meeting many years ago, we were all given a rock, and we were asked to write on that rock, something foundational. What helps you want to reach people? And it was funny because we just found this rock in the house, and on this rock, it says to follow the great man, to love God and love people. Like, what is something foundational that I need to be stamped on the rock? Now, I need Jesus' command to love God with everything I got and to love people. And the honest truth is, I need that command. In my walk in faith, I realized I needed that command. I'm a little bit of a rebel, and I can, in a good way, it allows me to never settle and always looking to get better because I'm always trying to advance. As a rebel, I'm trying to advance. I'm trying to get better. I want things around me to get better. And so it pushes me. Negatively, I can push up against authority sometimes, and I'm like, oh, that's wrong, and that's lame, and I have this duality in my rebellion. And the thing that keeps me straight is the highest authority of God telling me, no, you need to do this. And so when I heard this command, man, it got me going. It literally, in a sense, what it did, it pulled my eyes off of what I wanted to do, and focus in on what God is doing, what God wants. And that's the life He wants for all of us. That we're gonna lay down, right? It says, you are God's chosen ones. Put these things on. Hey, beloved, these holy things, put them on. And so I challenge every single one of us this week, hey, what do you need to put on a little bit more? Do you need a compassionate heart a little bit more? Do you need to forgive somebody today? Hey, do you need to show love? Like, that's the first and foremost and greatest thing. It's love, right? We got hope, we got peace, we got joy, but the greatest of them all is love. Have you loved someone that wasn't going to give you something? Right? It's real easy to love and like people that give you stuff, but are you able to love on the people around you without expecting something in return? Now, what are those things? Those are the Christian values we need to be like cultivating in our souls. Like weekly, hey, this week I am focused on being patient. Hey, this week I'm gonna be just really focused on my humility. What are those things that we can still struggle with, right? It's to cultivate it in you. It didn't say just put it on because it's like a t-shirt. No, like there's foundational things in you that got to get shaken up and worked on. It's like a farm, and you got to till and water and stand in the hot sun. It's going to be hard work, but it is worth it so that you would live the life that God has called you to live out, this new life that He's called you to live out. And in closing, our last point is going to be number three, Only by Christ, with Christ, we live this life we are called. Man, it is only by Christ and with Christ we live this life we are called. It's only with and by Him we can truly live a life that's meant for us. Because if it's in our own hands, we'll do whatever we want. Right? And whatever we want sometimes feels good, but really doesn't do anything for us spiritually, physically, at all. Let's read Colossians 3, 15 through 17. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, I love that. Whatever you say and whatever you do in action, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Now, I'm going to share a little video right after this. It's from an ex-gang member, and he's just sharing his testimony where he was very much in trouble as a young person. His dad would drink and hit the mom and him and his brother, and over time, he felt an emptiness that could never be filled. And he joined a gang and he went to jail multiple times. He watched one of his closest friends get shot and killed. And so, this is him. His mom was a Buddhist and reaches out to him and says, "Hey, Johnny, can you take me to church?" Johnny takes his mom to church because he's trying to, as an older man, just love on his mom, but he doesn't want to go there. And so, this is where the video is going to take place.
When I get there, I remember this pastor runs out. And he's like, "Hey, Johnny, good to see you. And why don't you come on in for some food, And they had made like some black bean noodles. And that's actually my favorite dish. I love eating black bean noodles. For those Asian Sundong people out there who know what I'm talking about, it's like a delicacy for us. I grew up eating that stuff. So I was like, "What's the harm in eating?" But I told the pastor, "I don't want to hear about God. I don't believe in God. I'm Buddhist, et cetera, et cetera." So we get there and I remember he sits down, and after we finish eating, he asks me two questions that really kind of shocked me. He said, "Are you a sinner? And do you know what sin is?" And at that time, I felt a little angry, to be honest, because I felt like that was a loaded question. Like, who's not a sinner? We're all born imperfect. We're all flawed as human beings. We've all made, bad decisions in our life and stuff like that. So I kind of got mad and I told him, "Yeah, of course." And he says, "So what do you think about sin?" And I said, "Well, sin is when you do something bad and then, you go against God, or you shoot people, stab people, lie to people. That's a sin." And he said, "Not so." And that was the first time that it kind of like, he shook my world upside down. I was like, "What do you mean? This is kind of weird," because that's what I always learned. Even though I wasn't Christian, Catholic or anything like that, I knew that doing bad things is a no-no. You don't do that. But he explained to me that sin was actually twofold. The first thing is, it's trusting yourself above the word of God. So trusting yourself more than God, that's what sin is. And number two, it was inheritance. So he explained to me the analogy of, you're Chinese. You didn't choose to be Chinese. You're born that way. Your father was Chinese, his father was Chinese, et cetera. It was passed down. Likewise with sin, it wasn't that you did anything wrong, but your father, Adam was evil. He was sinful, and then it passed down to us. So we were born as sinners. And at that time, it really made sense to me, because my son, he was like 4 years old at the time. And, I always taught him well, "Hey, don't follow the way that daddy went. Like, be good, respect your elders, et cetera, et cetera." Never taught him how to lie, steal, or do anything like that. But at the age of four, he loved eating gummy bears. And I remember, like, he would always want gummy bears. If he could just live off of gummy bears, he would do it. But with the veggies, you know, I told him you have to eat veggies first and then you can eat some gummy bears. But I would see him trying to hide the veggies, trying to take it to the little potty and throwing it in there. And, you know, who taught him that, you know? And he even got to a point where he would steal the gummy bears. He would scoot the little stool over, climb on top, reach at the top of the cabinet, pull out the gummy bears. And I caught him red-handed. I'm like, what are you doing one day? And he was like, nothing, Dad, nothing. You know, so who taught him that? I never taught him any of that evil stuff, but it was part of him. And it was something that was actually normal for him, for kids to rebel. And then he used the analogy of an apple tree, which really put it in perspective. He said, when you look at the seeds of an apple, where are the apples? But if you plant it, as it grows, it'll only produce apples. No matter how hard it tries, it cannot produce oranges or mangoes. Likewise, when you look at a baby, where is the sin? It's very cute, it's loving, but as it grows, as it matures, all you see is sin. They start to, you know, lie, they start to cheat, steal, they can even murder, you know? And so when I saw that, it really made a lot of sense to me as a person. And I was able to see that, oh, we're just being normal. It's not that I did bad things and then I became a sinner. No, I was born flawed. I was born imperfect. And he had mentioned, you're an imperfect person trying to produce perfect results. Of course you're gonna fall short. So that's why I had emptiness and depression and loneliness inside of my heart, because
he literally went there with just the purpose of dropping off his mom. And this pastor reaches out to him and says, hey, this is the truth. We all struggle. We all had a past self. We all had hurt and we all did do wrong. It's just in us. It's just who we are. But because of Christ, we can leave that to die. We can don't have to go back to it. And we don't have to practice sin. But we can cultivate freedom. Because Jesus Christ, because of him, you no longer can have emptiness or need to have emptiness because you have him. He is your all in all. And so let me just read this little part from John 16. And it kind of talks about, you know, what that pastor was talking about. Basically, that Jesus didn't come to punish us. He came to get rid of sin. Sin is what separates us from him, separates us from us from the Father. Like, he wants sin to be severed so that we can live in perfect harmony with God. Jesus says, when he shares about the Holy Spirit in John 16, 8 through 9, and when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. It's because of sin that is in us that makes us trip up. It's sin that's in us that makes us fall down and go away and maybe backslide and fight, right? It is sin. And later he says in verse 33, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome that world. It is in Christ and through Christ we can live a life of total freedom, perfect harmony, cultivating Christian values, godly virtues. What are those things, man? Our Christ was a God who had a kind heart, who was meek, who served, who loved. And so if we are to be people like that, then that is who we need to be like. And that's Jesus. If we're truly going to throw out, and if we're going to let the dead things lay dead, then we have to walk with the risen one daily. And so this was just me saying, hey, We are in it together. Sometimes, some days, you might think, man, how am I going to get past today? And if you don't know how to get past today, it's Jesus. Have you prayed? Have you praised him? Have you looked at his word? What are the things that you're missing? Have you reached out to a friend, right? What are the things that God has allowed to be in our life so that we can cultivate it within our soul so that we can live a life worth living? The best part about this video we watched is that at the end of it, Johnny is asked for forgiveness from his dad. He does it, and his dad is the one who apologizes before Johnny even gets to apologize. Reconciliation. Man, when we start to work on the things like forgiveness, perfect harmony happens. Reconciliation happens. Life restored happens. Joyous times happen. And so I just pray that over you and even over my life and over the church, that we would find ways to throw away sinful practices, cultivate, right, godly virtues, and walk and talk and breathe our life with Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for today. We thank you that you came. We thank you that you allowed us to put dead things away, that we die to those things, and that we are able to rise again in life with you. Would you continue to bless each and every person that's able to hear these words, that it wouldn't be a man speaking, but it would be you intervening in their life through the word. We love you. Pray that in your name. Amen. Well, thank you for joining. I hope to see you in person one day. But if not, continue to keep joining us here on online service and come on out. We love you. Have a great week. See you.